Hello, welcome to Don't Get It Twisted. Today is July 13th, 2017, and a special thanks to the WCHE 1520 AM family. Fred, our production manager, is here at the helm. Don't Get It Twisted is a Concerned Citizen Milana Caucus-sponsored talk show addressing the issues, needs, and concerns of Milanics. The informative and interactive roundtable forum spurs engagement of everyday people in the affairs and events impacting their daily lives. We hope you'll call in at 610-701-WCHE 9243. And I'm Chef Adrian, and with us is our Milanic inspiration and guru, Dr. Ayo.
Hotep, peace and blessings, everyone.
And on the line today, our lead host, Everett TJ Butcher.
Hey, TJ.
Hey, everybody.
How are you doing?
All right. And listen, I just want to say, going to have a good show today. I'm sure you will. We're going to talk about some vulnerability there. That's what I hear you all going to talk about and those aspects and all that. And I'm great to hear that. I am not in the studio today. That's kind of a rarity, but I guess it's a good thing. And I guess that's going to plug into it too, the vulnerability, because if we don't take some time with ourselves to take care of the things in there, we do become vulnerable. So I hope that gets hit in there. You can't hit what is not there. So we can't be stuck in history. We got to be able to move on, but you learn from it, so we move on from there. So I'm listening in and hoping to have a great show, and hoping all those out there that you listen, don't get it twisted, call on in, because you got the chef and you got Dr. Ayo there, and they're going to take it from there. I love you guys, and have a great show.
Okay,
thank you.
Take care.
Yeah, you know, it's really important that we pay attention to the fact that we are not supermen and superwomen, even though sometimes we behave as if we are. And so we have to take some time to deal with who we are as people who are divine, but trying to have a human experience.
And we need time for self-care. That is really important. I say that in my newsletter. I started back at yoga again because I just felt there was just too much stress happening in my life, and mostly from outside the family, politics. So I have gone back to yoga, and I can really see how I am overall calmer. Yeah, feeling more centered, overall calm. And the Call to Action newsletter, which you might see parts of that on our Facebook page, is something that I do now for the summer twice a week. And when you see what's going on in the news and in Congress, it does make you feel vulnerable. And vulnerability and validation is our today's theme.
And it kind of gets back to what we were talking about at the beginning before we went on air, and that is Bianca Roberson, who was shot here in Westchester by someone who clearly did not value life by taking the life, by shooting this young woman who was driving. And, you know, we don't know the story behind it, but clearly one of the things we see is that we have had a number of people who have made very bad kinds of decisions.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
And those decisions are based on the fact that when we're not making sure that our school systems and our homes are teaching how to respect other people and respect yourself, because of course it starts with you. It starts with the individual. If you love yourself, if you respect yourself, then it's a lot easier to love and respect others. But if you're taught that somehow other people don't matter, they're not valuable, then you engage in behaviors that are harmful to others, but also behaviors that are harmful to yourself, so that we see the increase in drug or substance use and abuse.
Yeah, and an article I was reading today, how perpetrators of rape on campus have reached out to our education secretary, Betsy DeVos, and they're asking for that this shouldn't destroy their lives.
Uh-huh.
You know, being accused of rape, uh-huh. You know, a thing that might have kept their lives from being destroyed might have been keeping their pants zipped.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that if a woman is not conscious, she can't say yes.
Uh-huh.
So if you go ahead and do something, it's rape.
Uh-huh.
And if a woman says no, and you go ahead and do something, that's rape. And how the males get centered more, this is destroying our lives. Well, what about the women that they raped? What about the trauma that they feel? That will haunt them for the rest of their lives. So to put more value on one than the other, and the fact that on a lot of college campuses, rape isn't handled. If somebody calls up and says, I was raped, that's handled by the campus police rather than the police, so that the campuses can keep that information underground so it doesn't reflect badly on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's really important, if campuses are so worried about this, that they start doing some that education.
I think one of the things that we've noticed, yeah,
college is doing education. Yeah.
Well, but you're making a good point, because frequently the programs that are cut first on college campuses are the counseling programs, which means that when someone is either accused or someone is either victimized, that they have nowhere to go. Or it may be that they may be staffed by people who are not culturally aware, culturally sensitive, or sensitive based on gender or sexual orientation. And as a result, people don't feel comfortable reaching out and requesting help or support for whatever's going on.
Or when their complaints are dismissed.
Uh-huh.
Because it will look bad, and he's on the swim team, or he's a football player, or something
or
like that.
Or comes from a wealthy family, which
yes.
is frequently the case. Because, once again, it gets back to that new term that was created, affluenza.
Yes.
That if somebody comes from a family who is wealthy, that supposedly, according to that particular term, they may be unable to understand that they shouldn't be able to do whatever it is they want to do and get away with it, that there are rules that apply to them regardless of their family background, income, ethnicity, or whatever. And I think that frequently what we see, even in terms of the reporting of crimes and the legal system in general, is that those people who come from backgrounds where family members have money, position, power, okay, they are not necessarily going to be identified as committing a crime to begin with, even though they clearly have. And so we need to have justice.
Wow, what a concept.
It is new, certainly, to our present administration here in the United States, which is unfortunate, but I think that what we need to do is call out.
But I think that still, it didn't just start with this president.
This administration? Of course not. This is the core of America, has been built on racism. It has never
she
been a country.
She just got two thumbs up and a high five for that one.
Yeah, this has never been a country that treated people fairly or justly. It was built on a group of people coming in and stealing a land and murdering people and then claiming all the possessions and then enslaving other people and abusing them. So what kind of mentality must we be developing in this country and globally? Because certainly there's some similar, although nothing has been like this.
I know they've studied how trauma is intergenerational. Have they studied how privilege I mean, trauma is transmitted genetically.
Yes.
Generation out.
Right.
I wonder if they've studied the same thing about privilege and that type of thing, and whether that is transferred that way. But I tend to think that's more of a nurture versus nature thing.
Well, that's a good question. I'm not familiar with any studies that have looked at it genetically, although one would think that since when we're talking about trauma, we're talking about cortisol levels.
Right.
So perhaps we might see that cortisol levels might be lower among those people with privilege than it would be among those who've been traumatized. Not to say that privileged people can't also be traumatized.
Of course,
because,
of course,
they traumatize each other.
Right.
And we're coming up on about a minute before our break. For those who are listening, you can call in at 610-701-WCHE. That's 9243. Again, that's 610-701-WCHE 9243.
Yes, give us a call. We'd love to have you in on the conversation.
So as we're saying, since we have about a minute left, part of what we would love to see, or certainly what I would love to see, are the churches and other people in positions of power to start holding seminars and workshops to address these issues in an effort to eradicate racism and to address the healing that needs to occur.
I know Zion Baptist Church in Ardmore has had a couple of those. So we'll be right back after this and we'll discuss more.
At WSFS Bank, we stand for what's possible. Like small businesses with big plans and big families that need a little more space. Whatever you need, you'll find us right around the corner and always in yours. Stop by any location today or visit us online at WSFSBank.com. We're WSFS Bank, and we stand for what matters. We stand for service. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Introducing a new cooking podcast, Now That's a Mouthful. This weekly program explores the shared experience of cooking and the challenges of preparing new and different recipes. Discover something new, whether you're a raw beginner or a seasoned pro in the kitchen. New episodes of Now That's a Mouthful are available every Wednesday. Start listening today at nowthatsamouthful.org or on your favorite podcast app.
Yikey Wawa! Running out of hot water is one way your water heater cries out for help. Call Morvent. Get a water heater rejuvenation. Your water heater gets added life, you get more hot water and more value, more trust, more vent.
A cold shower. Nobody likes them, especially on Sunday. I called Morvent. Alex got us a new water heater same day. Just like that, hot water again. That's why we've been with Morvent for years. More value, more trust, more vent.
He's like a dog chasing a rabbit. When Sean from Morvent comes to service our air conditioning, he keeps after it until everything is working correctly. That's why Morvent is the only company we trust to keep us cool. More value, more trust, Morvent.
Why get a new AC? Call Morvent. We specialize in getting new life out of old systems. And if yours is cooled its last, we'll help you save on select replacement systems. Getting maximum life from your AC. That's more value, more trust, more vent.
From Longwood Gardens to the Chester County Courthouse, from the Downingtown Loghouse to the Paoli Battlefield, from Lincoln University to Immaculata University, this is WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
Welcome back. You're here listening to Don't Get It Twisted here on 1520 AM in Westchester. And don't forget, I would love you to call in, so would Dr. Io, at 610-701-WCHE. If you just turned in, we're talking about vulnerability and validation.
And you're listening to Chef Adrian and Dr. Io.
Yes.
Hosting with TJ out in the field today.
Right. So a couple of things that we were talking about as we were discussing the topic today of vulnerability and and validation is an article, actually a Facebook post from a friend of mine who said his brother had gone, had made an appointment with the real estate person to look at a property, and she called and canceled the appointment, and he said, you know what, I'm going to go over there because I just, like, at least want to see the property. And when he got there, the real estate agent was there showing the property to two white couples. And I think from the post, he said he thought something sounded fishy with the excuse. So I think that was part of his motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems now that the validation is a validation of another racist incident rather than a validation of your worth. And I see that happening more and more. It's just the difference. The state attorney general, the state attorney in Florida was stopped by the police. I've seen that little bit where they come on it, and when she says she's a state attorney, you can see how their demeanor changes just a team a bit and becomes a lot softer, and there's more behe
mm-hmm.
with thinking of excuses on why they stopped her.
Mm-hmm.
And so... and you could see from the look on her face, it was a validation for her, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having that type of validation, which is not the kind we want, heightens a person's sense of vulnerability. What do you think about that, Dr. Aya?
People are vulnerable because an environment of vulnerability has been created in the United States for people who do not fit into the top 1%. And the solution is pretty clear. We have to educate our families. We have to educate our children and our adults. And that's done in the homes. It's done in the schools. There's no plan to do it, though. I would love to see the school superintendents in Chester County, Delaware County, and globally, embracing the concept of a pluralistic society, looking at bringing information from different cultural backgrounds, racial backgrounds into the school system so that we learn history and contributions from other ethnic groups other than Caucasians.
So that's part of a letter I'm writing to our school superintendent and the CARE committee, the Committee to Address Race in Education. And I kind of think that February is Black History Month is kind of ironic, because not only have black people been segregated, even your history is being segregated.
Hmm. Well, the challenge.
And I think it sends a subconscious message.
It does send a message, and it shouldn't have to be that way, but it was done because it was being ignored, and so there was a conscious effort to create at least 1 month when it could be addressed. Now, granted, it should be incorporated into all curriculum, and that hasn't been done, but there's something people can get online called the Baseline Essays, which look at Asian, Native American, Black history information to incorporate into all of the subjects in schools. So not just when we're talking about history, we're talking about the history of mathematics, the history of sciences, music, literature, all of those things. A lot of people are unaware that The Three Musketeers was written by a black man, Alexandre Dumas. A lot of people are unaware, and they really freak out when I say in music, one of the most famous people, Beethoven, was black. When we start talking about black people in various fields, people are surprised and shocked, and they even reject it and resent it because there's been such a consistently negative propaganda campaign waged against melanic people to indicate that melanic people have not contributed mm-hmm. To anything that's positive other than crime.
That not only affects white people. In my thinking, you have like Representative Stephen King, who thinks that white people have been the only ones to contribute to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have a value gap created in the melanic populations who think that, you know, I'm not worth anything. Why should I even try?
Mm-hmm. And other people feeling that way about melanics because they say, well, you've never done anything. We'd really be better off without you. Thus, when people are shot who are melanic, people don't rise up and complain. Where are all the ministers and popes and religious figures shouting out that this is inappropriate behavior and they're not going to stand for it? They're silent.
And we have a caller on the line.
Hey. How you doing?
We're doing fine.
That voice sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
Vaguely familiar. I'm here out here and with the family listening in. Not that anyone put comment on, I mean, this is, you guys, we know it. How about this, though? I would love to bring this to the table. In vulnerability, what about the expectations and the tolerances that we find? Because that's where you find vulnerability, especially within the melanic setting, what is expected of us to do or not to do, and also what we are allowed to be done or not be done, and we don't stand on ourselves. And as Adrian and as you brought up with the value gaps and where we don't stand on our rights and our attributes and our capabilities, and we make ourselves vulnerable in that aspect by not doing so. And it does come down, like you said, to education as well, because you have to know it before you can implement it.
You don't know.
I'm coming off from there, and you guys, hey, love you. Can't wait to get back in the studio with you.
Okay. Well, we miss you, but please rest up and take care. Let's talk about expectations. Yes. I think that's a good point because I'll give you an example. When I was in graduate school, a friend of mine, we studied together, and our scores were the highest scores on the exam, and we were told by the professor we better not get high scores next time. We can talk about...
What do you mean you better not get high scores next time?
We outscored all the Caucasian students, and that was unacceptable. It's okay if we're mediocre and they can maintain the stereotype that black students are brought in and then we have to be helped. What really happens to us in employment situations, in school situations, is that sick people who do not understand that they have been taught to expect less from blacks believe that blacks are not capable of being, let's say, I had a supervisee, the term superior, that blacks cannot be superior, that we must be inferior. And any time we demonstrate any kind of behavior that breaks out of that stereotype, then there's a problem. And we will be punished for it. We will be threatened with poor evaluations on our jobs, poor evaluations as students, or even being removed from a job or as a student.
But that presents an interesting dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the expectations are low for you,
mm-hmm.
and you're not inspired or
encouraged
to do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people are lazy. They're not going to, you know, everybody we're talking here,
mm-hmm.
you know, or say, why bother?
But that's the same thing that happened with President Obama. He was threatened with death for becoming the president. But he wasn't supposed to be a president over Caucasians in particular.
But then that whole thing of low expectations
mm-hmm.
also puts it in another clause, because I've listened to friends say, well, the black people get away with all this, and the black people get away with all that
mm-hmm.
in their jobs.
Mm.
And it's like, well, if they're not encouraged to do better, and the understanding is that they're only going to be there no matter what they do, so it kind of affects both sides and perpetuates
mm-hmm.
the stereotype, because there isn't the expectation. You get punished if you exceed the expectation, or you don't get rewarded if you exceed, either
mm-hmm.
punished or not rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people who have all the pressure put on them because there isn't the expectation that the other people can do it, then have a certain resentment. And so it works. It's kind of the expectation, it's the badness of low expectations. There's just,
well, you know, it is a confusing kind of experience if people expect you not to be able to perform, and then when you do, they punish you for performing.
And because they don't expect you to perform, they put all the extra workload on the white people.
Or do they? In some instances, you're saying they may.
But if there's only one black person, it's more likely all the stuff will be thrown on them. But if it's more diverse, it kind of works the other way. I've seen that example.
Well, and I guess it depends on the situation, certainly. And I think that I've been in personally those experiences where, as a supervisee when I was working on my PhD, I was supervised by someone who refused to teach me about forensic psychology because he felt I already knew too much and he didn't want me to be able to outperform him.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't share that with me until the end of our supervisory year when I asked him why he never allowed me to get that training. So that didn't mean they were giving me less work. They gave me more work and expected more of me, but at the same time, they were conflicted and didn't want me to outperform them.
Right, so there's this great dynamic that goes on that's really crazy, and we're up on break again. So we'll be back. Give us a call at 610-701-WCHE. That's 9243.
The late summer boredom fell hard on Thomas and Abigail Wyatt, and to lighten it, Thomas decided they needed to head to Gettysburg, PA. Friends thought them misguided. Upon their arrival, they found a food scene with dishes unexpected and fanciful, warm, welcoming people, and a micro distillery so impressive, Thomas would proclaim its drinks the nectar of the gods. This was a whole new Gettysburg.
Make your own history. Visit DestinationGettysburg.com.
Hey everyone, Steven Singer here. Join me Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. for Reconstruction Remix Music Show with yours truly. Futuristic beats of back in the day music, exclusive to WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County, and WCHE1520.com.
I know many of you are disappointed that the legal talk show hosted by Steve Karp has ended, but Steve Karp is still practicing personal injury law and is available for consultation. So if you've experienced an injury or suffered medical malpractice, then call Steve now and let him represent you in court. Steve has not only decades of law experience, but has taught law in Philadelphia's prestigious law schools. Here's the really good news. You don't pay anything if he loses your case, so you know he'll give it all he's got to win for you. Steve Karp practices only one kind of law, personal injury law, and he's an expert in all areas of that litigation. So don't put it off another minute. Call Steve Karp now in his Westchester office, 610-430-2200. That's 610-430-2200.
Westchester Athletics.
Moriarty drops back, looks left side, fires, and has Tim Brown with the reception. Makes a man miss to the five. Brown to the goal line, trucks through a man as he walks in for the touchdown.
High school athletics.
Roberts has it, rolls to his left. He's looking. Plenty of time. He's going to roll back to his right, throwing into the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Westchester East.
The sports chatter of Chester County. This is your home for Chester County sports. 1520 WCHE.
Welcome back. We're here on WCHE 1520 AM in Westchester. This is Don't Get It Twisted. And today we have, I almost said Chef Io, Dr. Io, and I'm Chef Adrian.
I should be so lucky to be a chef. Not my strong point.
You can always take lessons. I'm always around for you.
I'm blessed to have a husband who is an excellent cook. So.
Oh, well, that's even better. That's even better.
Yes.
So we're talking about, I guess it winds up being kind of an implicit bias.
When we're talking about the biases of whether or not someone gets assigned a job or a task on a job, mm-hmm. because there's a belief that that melanic person is not capable of doing the job, but then people will blame the melanic person as if that person was the one who made the decision versus their colleague.
Exactly. That was the point I was trying to make.
Exactly. And understand that part of what also happens is if we're not being allowed to demonstrate our skills, we're also being cut out of those salary increases and promotions and positions of power. And certainly blacks tend to be hired at lower income levels, or lower salaries, I should say, than Caucasians with lesser credentials.
Yes, that has been. And it's like we were talking between the break. We just don't stop. We just keep going. You know, if the melanic doesn't have the opportunity because of implicit bias of the manager to take on that special project, and the manager thinks that they're not capable, they don't have a chance to shine. Mm-hmm. They don't have a chance to show them what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, that leads to them staying in the position with the lower salary.
Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about validation, if I don't have the opportunity to demonstrate my skills, or if people keep telling me I can't, eventually I believe that that's true. And we see it in the classroom with children. We see it in the home between couples where the man is saying to the woman, you can't do this, you can't do that. And the woman starts doubting herself.
Well, that's the wrong, that's again, the validation, but the wrong validation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, you know, I was giving an example during the break that my husband, who's a PhD in chemistry, when he worked for the Environmental Protection Agency, came in and was able to produce better quality evaluations and assessments than people who had been there for many years. And as a result, they were telling him to slow down his work, and he could not get a job there. And that is a common problem. Do we have a caller?
And we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. What is your name? And what's your question?
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, it's Faye. It's just the, earlier when you were talking about the unequal distributive power, I was telling my my father, who's also listening to the show, the prime example is at my work. I work as a cashier, even though I have a degree in English, but I also have a department manager who watches over us, but his highest education level is a GED.
That's a common problem, that blacks can't get jobs and other melanics can't get jobs based on their qualifications. And when they do, people feel intimidated. And as a result, even when you get the job, your performance evaluation will be skewed in a negative direction because people in power feel threatened and fearful of having a melanic who is above them serving as their manager or supervisor.
Yeah, and I think this is, I think it's crucial to bring that to the attention, but it also happens if you're a woman. Being supervised by a man, that a lot of times they don't want to be supervised by
a
woman.
That's right.
They might not say that, but that's true.
That's the American culture.
Yeah.
The United States has always been one that has based its functioning on biases, not on strengths, not on abilities, but on biases and fears. So the question I would ask if people are listening, do you have jobs that you're looking to fill that you can share with us on our webpage so that we can start making sure we connect with people with the qualifications who can take advantage of those positions? I'd love to have people call in and give us job opening
information.
Mm-hmm.
We can start a job page on our Facebook page.
I would love it.
Job opportunities.
Those who are courageous enough. If you're not afraid to have melanics on your job. And let's start documenting what's going on. I would love to be able to go into every company starting here in Westchester and ask for the actual credentials of the people working there and look at their salaries. And I can bet you, you would not get it. Of course not. Because we know what we would find. We know that we would find people, just as the caller has indicated, who have advanced degrees, who are melanics, who are in in lower-level positions and people with lesser credentials who are supervising them, making the big salaries.
Yeah. But you can see it if you walk in anywhere.
Caller, any other comments you might have to share with us?
Other than the Chef Adrian brought up a good point about the gender bias as well, because I noticed it at work as well. Like, people have more negative opinions of the female managers versus the male managers. Like, they can literally do the same thing, but they'll judge the woman more harshly than the man.
Mm-hmm. When a woman is assertive, she's considered being a B.
Right.
Right. So, pushy and aggressive.
So when the man does it, oh, he's just doing his job.
That's funny, because when my daughter started working in where she works, and they're pretty cool there, but they still have stuff that has to be brought to their attention, and they're cool with learning. So the owner was chewing her out for something, and she said to him, "You know, that wouldn't be a problem if I had a
physical attribute
between my legs."
Right.
But and he looked at her for a second and he goes, "You're right."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're all brought up with these biases, and mm-hmm. And the fact that some people are willing to recognize that they have them
mm-hmm.
is really cool.
It's a strength.
But so many people just refuse. I was talking to somebody, and they said that systemic racism is a myth.
Hmm. Well, it's because they're perpetrators of it. People go into denial when they know that they're part of the problem. And one of the things we have to do is both recognize those people who are courageous enough to be honest and to change and to learn, and to identify those people who are not. Because as long as we're silent, as long as we don't document these inappropriate behaviors, they will not only continue, they will grow. Witness, if you will, the shooting of Bianca Roberson. I mean, that's just unheard of, that you're driving along and somebody pulls out a gun and shoots you in your head. If that happened to a Caucasian female, do you not think that Westchester and the United States wouldn't be up in arms about this person who did it?
Yeah, and not printing articles in the paper how, oh, this is so unlike him.
Mm-hmm. Sympathizing with them, because it's a racist environment.
Yeah.
And we've said it before, Westchester, sadly, is in the top 5% of the most racist counties in the country. And we see that in the way in which we deny racism and will not address it and refuse to heal from it. So thank you, caller, for calling in. And once again, it gets back to the fact that those people who are most silent are the most guilty. And if they were to step up and say, "Let's have a discussion," I would love that.
It actually started getting amusing. I would write like two lines, and then I would get back a dissertation discounting the two lines.
Mm.
I'd write two more lines, and I'd get back a dissertation
mm-hmm.
on how invested this man was in believing that anything that happens to somebody is their fault mm-hmm. and not the fault of society mm-hmm. and things that have occurred in the past.
Yeah, I guess when babies get kidnapped and murdered, it is their fault, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. And we can go on with that. But I think that once again, people go into denial because they're not ready to admit their own issues.
Right.
And that is a defense mechanism clearly understood in the field of psychology. But it doesn't mean that we have to be stopped by that. That person may not be open to change, but there are others.
But because a lot of this conversation was happening on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
I always feel that I'm not just talking to him.
No.
I'm talking to
everybody who reads it.
Talking to lots of people reading this.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I can try and get my point together,
mm-hmm.
that is you know, people who are on the fence. I might be turning those people on the fence, or at least giving them some information
that they didn't have before.
Right.
Exactly.
And maybe make them say, wait a minute, he said this, she said this, I wonder which one's really true.
Exactly. For those people who are healthy enough not to be stuck on being a racist, because being a racist for some people is simply because of misinformation. For other people, it is part of a mental health problem. And they won't change even in the face of
evidence, information. Yeah.
To the contrary, their beliefs.
Yeah, it's sad, but it shows how much work we have to do, and that's why it is so important that we start early.
Exactly. I would like to just share, I'm going to be presenting next week in Houston, Texas, on relationships, and certainly one of the things that I'll be talking about is the impact of racism on how we select our partners, because it does have an impact. How we see ourselves, as TJ was saying, do we feel good about ourselves as a people if we've been told from the time we were born that we're ugly, we're stupid, we're worthless? How does that play into selecting a partner for life? And it does have an impact. So I'll be looking at interracial relationships, black relationships with other blacks, and the impact of racism on how we select a mate, how we love that mate, and whether or not we have the courage to end a relationship that's not healthy for us.
That's very good. And we are coming up on a break again. Get your phones ready, 610-701-WCHE-9243, and we'll be back after this short commercial break.
Each month, Radio PA gives you a chance to send a question or comment to Governor Tom Wolf during our Ask the Governor program. Your input can make a difference, just like Thomas in Center County, who was concerned about the state prison population counting toward the governor's proposed $25 per capita fee for state police coverage.
Prison populations included in these township formulas, is there a way to offset that, or is that just the way it's going
to be? I think Thomas makes a really good point. That's not right. So I will make sure that, at least in the proposal that I make, I will modify that we don't count the prison population in that. So I think Thomas makes a very good point. Thank you for that good question.
You can be a part of the next Ask the Governor program by going to PAMatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. You can also email the program directly at AskTheGov@PAMatters.com. That's AskTheGov, G-O-V, at PAMatters.com. Ask the Governor is an exclusive presentation of Radio Pennsylvania and PAMatters.com.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer, 610-873-1696.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
This is the talk of Chester County. 1520 WCHE.
Welcome back. This is Don't Get It Twisted on WCHE 1520 AM. I'm Chef Adrian, and with me is
I'm Dr. Ayo.
Yes. So give us a call at 610-701-WCHE. That's 9243. And let us know what your experiences are as far as validation, how you've been affected in the workplace. What makes you feel vulnerable?
On the last break, I was briefly talking about my presentation I'll be doing in Houston, Texas. The Association of Black Psychologists, which is an international organization for black and other Melanic psychologists, will be holding its annual conference in Houston, and people who might be interested in attending or joining the association can contact the Association of Black Psychologists, which is located in Washington, D.C., and their phone number is 301-449-3082. Again, their phone number is 301-449-3082, or the email address or website for them is actually ABP, as in psychology, S as in success, and I.org, and it's an abbreviation for psychology. And my presentation will be actually a workshop where I'll be taking people through steps to help them to identify their ideal mate. What are the characteristics that they need to be looking for based on who they are, not mm-hmm. who I am, and looking at, based on that information, how do you then find somebody? Because one of the challenges for Melanic people and blacks in particular, and in particular black women, is where do you find a healthy partner? And unfortunately, there are no real systems set up for us to do that. And so it's an important thing for us to start developing meetings and activities where people can get together and meet. But once you do that, you have to be able to evaluate that person and figure out whether or not that person is right for you. Right. So I teach some strategies on how to do that.
Yeah, and also, you know, you're not going to find the perfect person. That doesn't exist in nature.
Oh, perfect for you, it could.
But that's where I was going with that. I like to say, in Yiddish, there's a term, it's called shtick, and it means like mannerisms or stuff that you do. You have to find someone whose shtick meshes nicely with yours.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, if you have a weird thing, find somebody else who has that same weird thing or appreciates that weird thing about you.
Uh-huh.
I think that type of thing is important too, because you got to find somebody who
fits you.
Yeah, and that's somebody you can have fun with.
Oh, absolutely, if you're a fun person, but some people may not want to have fun. Whatever it is that you need in your life, like for me, because of my busy schedule as a psychologist, I see clients late into the evening. So if I had a husband who expected me to cook, he'd be in trouble. He would die of hunger. So would I. But because I married somebody who loves to cook, when I finish my clients, yes, as I finish my evening with clients, he has dinner ready. So looking at a balance, and certainly one of the things that I talk about is the fact that we have these stereotypes or roles, rigid roles that many of us have been taught, and we have to learn to let go of the rigidity and to be become more fluid in a relationship, so that if the baby needs the diapers changed, that the dad is able to do that or take care of them. And my husband's another great example. I have to brag on him.
Yeah.
We have a grandbaby, and he changes diapers. He feeds her. He does everything that I can do with her. And that's important, not only with a grandchild, but with your child. Babies need to learn to bond with their fathers, who do the bathing and the feeding and the cleaning, just like moms. And moms need breaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. And I see that equal partnership in my neighbors next door, and it's really cool. I kind of had to drag my husband kicking and screaming, but he found out he enjoyed taking care of the kids. He enjoyed this, you know. He became the breakfast person, even though he wasn't about to cook dinner. My schedule, you know, was more reversed, and I did that. But he became like the breakfast person, so he does some really good omelets, and we'll put together a nice brunch. And so everybody has their things. And he didn't like it that I didn't get the laundry done on time, so he started doing his own.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
So he was being flexible. That's
right.
Important in a relationship. If it's to work, you cannot be rigid.
Right. Because he said, well, if you don't like it, do your hand when you want it, you know.
And it also includes the term that we've been working on today, validation.
Mm-hmm.
You need a partner who will validate you, who supports who you are and your agenda.
And that is really important, mm-hmm. having that support,
mm-hmm.
that especially when, you know, people grow as relationships continue on.
Mm.
I'm not the same person that I was when we got married almost 35 years ago.
You had to think about that.
Yeah.
That's impressive, though. Exactly.
No, that's really long.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow
that's
I don't
blessing.
Feel like I must have gotten married when I was 2 or something.
I think so.
And so to accept the changes that naturally occur in a person's personality, and then try and be flexible enough to each of you work together.
Mm-hmm.
It's we had both been married before,
mm-hmm.
and when we decided to get married, he said something that was very good. He said, "We'll both be in the rowboat rowing in the same direction."
Mm.
And I said, That sounds perfect.
That's ideal for
yeah.
a relationship. But, you know, you make a point when you say that you changed. And sometimes when we're with people, we change. And sometimes that change may not be shared with the partner. So that, let's just use an example of when most people are young and dating, they frequently engage in, let's say, substance use. Let's say it's alcohol. And you go out and hang out at the bars and you drink.
Right.
But then as you get older and you have children, you can't hang out in the bars and drink because you have a baby now.
Right.
So if one partner still wants to hang out in the bars and drink and the other one doesn't, the relationship can be very strained and can ultimately end up in partners going separate ways. So it becomes important to understand that you need to blend a relationship, but that with growth and with changes, you have to ask yourself, is this working for me?
Yeah, to let each other know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've become way more politically active and vocal and going to way more meetings than ever in the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
And
but that's because you're retired too. Doesn't that allow you more time to do that? Would you have done that as a working full-time mom?
I never worked full-time as a mom.
Oh, lucky you. Okay.
I know. So
haven't had that experience.
I was lucky that way. I had a catering business, so that allowed me to, mm-hmm. you know, like cook when I wanted to, mm-hmm. and most of the parties were on the weekends, so
okay.
the honey took care of the kids.
All right.
So that allowed that flexibility to happen. And so you have to keep that in mind, and I think the fact that we were older, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were...
That makes a difference. You were more mature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was easier to express what you wanted. You know yourself better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think as many of those changes happen if you're getting married in your 30s as it does if you're getting married in your late teens, early 20s.
Exactly, exactly. Being more mature makes a difference because you've had experiences that help you to
right.
see things differently, and that's so important. I know that we're coming up on the end of the program already, and we were kind of talking about the importance of having the listening audience share their resources and putting that on our Facebook
yes.
page.
If you have been listening to the show, you'll see that we've been focusing on Melonica and businesses. So drop us a line on our Facebook page if you would like to join us for a session and be one of our featured Melonic businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any job openings, post that too.
Absolutely. We need that.
So we want to thank you so much for joining us today. And check out our Facebook page. Check out our Pinterest page if you want to learn a little bit about history.
Mm-hmm.
And
or a lot about it.
Yeah, and check out our websites. And join us again next week.
Yeah.
At the same time, Thursdays at 1 o'clock, we'll be here.
And we do appreciate the caller who called in today. And, TJ, we want to send our prayers and blessings and help you to return to the program next week when I'll be gone because we're going to need you back here.
Yeah, and I'll be doing a Seven Harvest event that day also. So he's
what
got
is
a,
that?
Seven Harvest is a program that takes that helps people transitioning from addiction and incarceration and helps them transition back into society. It's a really nice program. I'll post up a link on the Facebook page.
And don't you feed them?
Yeah, we do. We do events for fundraisers and practice for people, so that'll
okay.
be next Thursday.
That sounds exciting.
And it's vegetarian.
Yes, impressive. So we've had a great time here today, although we were a little lonely because TJ wasn't with us.
I know. But it's like we just want to say to you for this week,
as always,
don't get it twisted.